Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with Cullen Steele, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson. Coach Johnson, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
You got it. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Coach, with the format out in Hoover, I think I know the answer to this, but I've had a texter, a couple of them ask about it. Has it changed what you do this week in preparing for a Friday game?
A little bit. You know, the past couple years, we've gone straight from the last series directly to Hoover, because even if you finish high like we did, you would be playing on Wednesday if you got a bye. Now it's not till Friday with where we landed. So we actually rolled the dice last week and decided to fly home from South Carolina, which we'd have been right back on a bus had we, you know, had to play on Wednesday instead of Friday. So team came through. Everybody's happy. Coaches, players are happy. Players' girlfriends are happy. They get to see them for a couple more days. We're on it. We just had a simulated game today with some pitchers that needed to throw and some guys needed some at-bats. Some of the regular guys we got in for some cage work and kind of a lighter day just to let their bodies recover from the 30-game SEC schedule. And we'll have two good practices here the next couple days, load up on Wednesday and work out in Hoover on Thursday, get ready for Friday.
Coach, doing this for 40 years, and I got coaches in my family. I heard you say something the other day that reminded me of something a family member of mine who was coaching before had told me about. Sometimes you have teams that you look at yourself and say, boy, I'm glad we had this point, because I don't think I could have asked for any better. But you made the comment, this team has not hit ceiling yet. There is still some growth left on this baseball team. And I think coaches know it better than the fan, media, anybody else to know about their team. And it just kind of caught me that a lot of times, if coaches are honest with you, they'll tell you, hey, we just lucky we at this point. And, you know, whatever we get afterwards is kind of Louisiana. It's called a lenyap. But I think you looking at this, that you really see some growth here for this team, not only at the SEC championship game, but into the regionals.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the one thing that I think that we can hang our hat on is we've been pretty consistent, you know, outside of, we had a tough weekend at Auburn, which, you know, like us, will be a top eight national seed on the road. And they played very good that weekend. You know, we've been pretty consistent. So I think the approach to winning has been good. I do think there's some better offensive play in us that we've seen at times that we saw a lot for the first 34 games of the season. I like the last 2 weeks a little bit better than maybe, you know, the middle of league play. And, you know, we just hit a stretch where, you know, we're playing a lot of the best teams in the country, and it's that they're that way because they have good pitching. We've had some pieces in the bullpen really start to emerge for us. So I think getting it firing on all the cylinders, we can be a team that can be very difficult to play and win against.
Coach, if every year I told you have two freshman All-SEC players like Derek Curiel and Kason Evans, hey, man, you take that offer right then and there to get two like that.
100%. You know, and, you know, it's a really good freshman class, and it's a good honor for Kason, good honor for Derek. I believe Kason was the best freshman pitcher in the league this year. That's saying quite a bit. I think Derek was, you know, the best freshman position player in the league. And we knew when we recruited them, they were guys you knew were going to make an impact. And that's a little less common than you would think, because there's such a jump from like high school baseball to what the SEC has become. Not everybody can handle it. Those guys are talented guys, but their maturity and their mindset have allowed them to succeed quickly. And we're proud of them for that and super happy to have them at LSU.
Coach, I've been wanting to ask you this because we've had it so many different ways, because you talk about a jump. Give me, what was the tip to go recruit Daniel Dickinson? It's not like he's playing at a major college somewhere, but kind of give us the background story of how Dickinson got to LSU, but how you found out about Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, this day and age, you're just kind of paying attention to college. I love college baseball first and foremost, and so I'm a guy that looks at a lot of the scores and, you know, reads up on a lot of players. And, you know, he had not one, but two outstanding seasons. And, you know, Utah Valley is a good program, and it's a really cool area. And I've heard really good things about Daniel's makeup and character. And, you know, he didn't really decide to go into the portal till way later in the process. So it wasn't like some foregone conclusion. But, you know, I have a lot of friends out west that, you know, there was some like, hey, if that guy from Utah Valley goes in the portal, that's who you want to get. You know, whether it's some coaches in the WAC or just in the West in general. And then he made Team USA. And so, I mean, he was a pretty high profile name. I remember seeing him this summer in the Cape Cod League. I was actually up there recruiting Chris Stanfield, who already was in the portal. And I saw Daniel play. He wasn't in the portal yet, but it didn't take me long to go like, wow, he's as good as I've heard, you know, type thing. And so it was kind of an easy decision. Like once it became, he decided he was going to go and transfer, like, let's get on this right now and see what we can do to get it done. And it's a perfect match. I mean, his life's built around baseball, and that's what you have to play for me and play at LSU. And it's not just his tools and his ability, but how he plays really lifts our team. And I'm proud of him for that.
Coach, what you just brought up, Jacques Doucet and I were doing a speaking engagement last Thursday. And he had asked me, you've been doing this, Mike, longer than I have. Have you ever seen an LSU coach as focused as Jay Johnson is, from starting lineup, what I'm going to do the next day, recruiting, that sort of thing? And I mean, listen, I grew up with Coach O, so I knew how much emphasis he put on recruiting. But I was telling him, the only guy I could say was like that in kind of in this sort of era was Nick Saban when he was at LSU. Nick was like that his whole life, so to speak. And Nick used to say, well, I got 4 to 5, maybe 6 hours sleep a night. And I'm like, come on, dude, ain't no way. Because, you know, I'm sort of wired like that too. After 4 hours, I'm up. You know, I don't know why, but I'm up. And that was my answer to Jacques, that other than Saban, to have that laser focus, and what you brought out about Dickinson, I think that's what you look at in a player.
No doubt about it, and I really appreciate you saying that. I can't say this very often around LSU, but I was a huge Alabama football fan before I came here because of Coach Saban and the respect for their program. And, you know, a couple of my assistants at Arizona, like, we talked about, like, hey, can we – and this was at Arizona I was talking about, you know, can we turn this into – Alabama football with the structure of the organization and recruiting and development and pipeline for Major League Baseball the way they were for the NFL. And we did a great job there. Got to Omaha a couple times in 5 years, played for the championship. But, you know, you could clearly see there was a difference in the SEC. And obviously our program, you know, had the great history with Coach Burtman to lean back on.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And, you know, kind of like Alabama football in that regard. So it made this one really appealing, and excited to be here and excited to chase that. And you're right when you talk about Danny. It's like I said, a guy who builds his life around baseball. And the only thing I don't like about Danny is we'll only have him for 1 year because he's a great player and he'll be on to pro baseball after this year. But he sure made a great impact on our team, and he's a great human being as well.
One of the things before the season, we had on former Major League Baseball pitcher Scott Sanders on. And I asked Scott, what do you think is the biggest key for this season? And he very quickly answered, how well Cade Anderson and Anthony Iverson can pitch. Man, I think back at that. Man, he hit the grand slam home run. Because you're not in this spot today without what Cade and Anthony have done. They have just been magnificent out on the mound for you.
They've been the key to the whole thing. And, you know, that's really observant, you know, of Scott to say that. You know, Cade, you could see it as a freshman last year, but he hadn't pitched in a year and a half because he was coming off Tommy John. So there was a little bit of a learning curve, and he blew right through that, did the things he needed to do to really, really be successful. In terms of Anthony, you know, like Danny, you know, on the pitching side, that was the one guy on the pitching side in the transfer portal. It's like, we have to get this guy. This is going to tip the season in the direction we want it to if we do. It's going to be harder if we don't get him. And because it would kind of push everybody up into a different role than they have. And he was right. I was right in that. And they both have been spectacular. And, you know, it's a wide open deal this year. I don't think there's really a clear cut favorite to win the championship. Those guys are going to give us a great chance to win every time that they pitch. And this is a team of really good guys. And when your best players, your best pitchers are the best human beings in your locker room, that really helps your team. And that's how I feel about, you know, Cade and Anthony.
Jared Jones, you've seen the growth in him over the last year in watching him develop as a more patient hitter, I should say, than we had saw maybe earlier last season for you. But man, I think about guys that are going to be dumb enough to throw a ball over the top of the plate that you know damn well where it's going to end up at. His growth as a hitter, though, that is really surprising how well and how patient he's been as a hitter. Because a lot of times when you have that much power and you built like him, man, I know what I want over the plate. But he has been and developed into a much more competent and patient hitter than we saw a year ago at this time.
No doubt. I'm really proud of him. His growth here over 3 years has been amazing. From really good freshman year, got a lot of playing time on probably the hardest team ever to break in on play on as a freshman in the history of LSU, our 2023 championship team. And hit with power, hit around 300, swung and missed a little too much, chased a little too much. Last year, we cut down the chase quite a bit. This year, he's cut down the chase along with the swing and miss and come up with a bunch of big hits on top of the homers. He's very underrated as, in my opinion, one of the best first basemen you could ever have defensively, and has done a great job for us. So very thankful to Jared, and it's going to be weird not having him around here after this year because of the impact he's made. And, you know, this weekend somebody told me he jumped up to third all-time in home runs at LSU. And think about all the great sluggers that have played here. What an accomplishment for him.
He's not as big, but you can see, man, from a talent and a power standpoint, Jake Brown and what he brings to the table. And he's not a full-time player for you. But, man, he's another guy that you see his development just as a sophomore, as a hitter, and being also more patient when he comes up to bat. Because sometimes, again, I go back to it, when you have that type of size and power where he's not quite as big as Jared, he's still a big man out there swinging a bat, you know, you have a tendency to fall into some habits and, as you pointed out, maybe chasing pitches that he shouldn't chase.
No doubt. No doubt about it. But I'll tell you what, you know, there's always a guy in your lineup, like when they play good, you win. And Jake Brown is one of those guys for us. And certainly proud of him. The monster development of him as a player since he's been here. I mean, he essentially came here as a pitcher. But, you know, I went to see a high school game during his senior year. We're talking about trying to keep him from signing a pro contract in the draft and making sure he got to LSU. And you could quickly see the athleticism, how he moved. I was like, this guy's got a chance to become one of the best hitters in our program, and that's what he's done. And, you know, really, really proud of his development. He's a great teammate, hard worker, invested in winning, loves LSU. And I think he's quietly becoming one of the best players in college baseball. And it's been awesome to see, and excited. I think you'll see him play well here down the stretch.
Get your thoughts on what has happened at Mississippi State. I mean, just a couple years back, this team wins a national title, and then things sort of fall off the cliff a little bit, get rid of the coach. And what they've done the back half of the season, Coach, that's really impressive, because you could, as a staff or as a unit, say, kind of feel sorry for yourself. Okay, it's all lost. You know, we're not going. We're not doing anything. But, man, the toughness – mental toughness it takes to come back from something like that. I've been impressed with what I've seen from Mississippi State.
Yeah, no doubt. They're one of the hottest teams in America right now, along with Florida. And, you know, the Mississippi State thing is really interesting to me, because we swept them here the third weekend of SEC play. And it was one of those, we finished the game. It was one of those that finished at like 1:30 in the morning. And I remember thinking, like, they're in a bad spot right now, but that's going to be significant, because there's plenty of talent on that team. And I was right. They fought their way all the way back. I mean, they're a for sure two seed in somebody's regional that's going to be very unhappy when they show up, because there's plenty of talent on that team, and they're playing their best baseball now. You know, it's a tough business. We all know what it is and about. Coach Lemonis is a friend of mine, so I hated to see him lose his job. And you know, I mean, obviously, except against us, I wish they would have played a little better before he got fired, but that's neither here nor there. So,
Coach, last question for you, because I know you take a look at all this. Man, Hoover's famous. Okay, you got the SEC tournament there, but rain. Man, it rained every damn time they got a tournament there. So tell us what it looks like for the weather Friday. I'm going to give you can play meteorologist here.
You know what? I've had to look at weather more this year than any year in my career. So I'll be honest. I heard they're having some rain tomorrow, which might affect the early rounds. But Tigers aren't even showing up till Friday on the field there at the Hoover Met. So as long as it's Good Friday, we're all good. And what I do remember, we played the championship game last year. It was beautiful on Sunday. And I don't know if it's the good Lord, but it just seems the longer the tournament goes, the weather tends to get better and better. So hopefully that's the case this weekend when we show up in Hoover to play.
Coach, best of luck to you in Hoover. And I know, man, winning the SEC championship, yes, that does still have meaning today. But you looking for bigger things down the road. But, hey, you got to play the SEC tournament first. So that is priority at this point.
No doubt. We'll be ready to roll this weekend, and really appreciate all the fans here from Louisiana making the trip over there. And we're going to try to win and get them to stay as long as we can.
One thing I do know, alcohol and food sales will be up dramatically if you get it well into the weekend, because, man, they do travel and they love the Tigers.
That's right. And I'm very, very thankful. That makes it one of the best places in the country to coach is our fans. And they were great at South Carolina this weekend. You know, basically took up a whole side of the stadium, which was awesome. And look forward to seeing them all in Hoover.
Coach, best of luck to you, and we'll talk soon. Thank you for coming on with us this afternoon.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
All righty. The skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory, that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.